not getting better. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is the New Living Testament, New Living Translation. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you're insulted because you hear that you bear the name of Christ, you'll be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must be not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? Also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right, and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you.
So we're looking at 1 Peter, not the easiest time and place to live. There was a lot of persecution. People were literally suffering, being put to death because of their Christian faith. I'm also a little under the weather this morning, so if I have to go get a drink every so often, that's what that's all about. What do we do when suffering comes? I know what I do. I run and hide. Oh, they're suffering over there. I'm going to go. We orchestrate our life at times just to stay away from the bad, just to stay away from the suffering, to stay away from that which is difficult in life. Yet, Peter's right. You can't hide from it. You can't avoid it your whole life. It is a part of life. When it comes to suffering in this world, there's three different kinds or types. Number one is just common suffering, and that happens because we live in an originally sin-affected world with other sinners. And sometimes stuff just doesn't go right. We intend everything to go in just the right way. We bring our A game, all that we have, to something, and oh, it doesn't go the way that we had planned it. It didn't go the way that we intended. Some days we look at our calendar, and maybe you're like me, suffering is not on my calendar. Okay, 10 o'clock, suffering's coming. Well, sometimes I know that just depending on who I have an appointment with, but I have to make you laugh a couple of times. This is a heavy subject. But see, we don't have that on our schedule, do we? No. Yet when we make it through the day, there may have been a point or moment or exchange of suffering. And it's just common. That's the way living in this world is. Number two, there is consequential suffering. Yes, when you make a bad mistake. Now, some thrill seekers make bad mistakes all the time, and they do suffer for that from time to time. But that's maybe the larger end of that scale, all the way down to the fact that, well, you know, we chose not to buy shoes that fit us. They look cool, but they don't fit us. And because they don't fit us, when we wear them all day long, our feet hurt at night. We're suffering from that. Sometimes we suffer for being a Christian. And it runs the gamut. On one end, you have the martyrs. those that have literally given their life for the Christian faith. All the way over to the fact that, well, you know, sometimes when you take a stand, people don't like that. Sometimes being a Christian makes you very, well, less popular. I did ask my daughter if I could use this illustration this morning. When she went to college, she wanted to rush a sorority, which she did, and got into a great sorority. But one of the things she called me up one night, a little bit in tears and kind of befuddled by this, she said, well, the girls left and they didn't invite me to go with them. And I feel very left out tonight. And I said, well, why do you think they didn't invite you to go? Well, they were going to go to a bar and they were going to go dancing and they were hoping to meet some strange boy. I said, well, I don't want you doing any of those. Well, you can dance. You think maybe the reason they didn't invite you is because you didn't want to go binge drinking with them and connect up with some boy that you don't even know? See, when you go along with them, they don't ever feel comfortable about doing that. And they know you don't want to do that. Yay! They know you don't want to do that, and so they don't want to put you on the spot, so they don't invite you to go. And even though you want to be a part of what it is to be in a sorority, at times they're going to ostracize you, not invite you, because they know they're going to do things that you don't really want to do. Sometimes we suffer for our Christian faith. The truth is that suffering in this world, no matter where it is on the scale, is really the test of our faith, isn't it? And I challenge us all this morning, do we believe what Romans 8:28 says? Do we believe that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them? In the end, do we really believe that God is going to bring out something good through our suffering? When we do, that does make it a lot easier for us to tolerate, lean forward into the suffering of this world. God is up to something good. And let me help you a little bit with the math. If God can do something good through your bad choices, which He can, He doesn't waste our bad choices, our sinfulness. And on the other end, He doesn't waste our suffering. He uses it for good either in our life or in the life of someone else. And when we suffer, don't we seek out somebody else that's dealt with that? We give them a call. That's who we want to have a coffee with, lunch with. And as we meet with them, we're looking for some encouragement and some insight. We're looking for a cheerleader who can say to us, you'll make it. You'll make it. It's not going to be easy. But you'll make it. Why do we know we'll make it? Because God's working everything out for good. That doesn't mean everything's good. He's working everything out for good. Now, Peter tells us how God works everything out for good when we face suffering. And the first thing he says is, you know, really don't be surprised of this. Realize that suffering is going to happen to you. Verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Now, it is something when we're surprised by suffering. And on the other side, I'm like you. I don't want to wake up every morning going, okay, here it comes. I don't want to do that either. Yet the fact that things don't always go as I planned them, even though I endeavor to slice out all the good in my life, sometimes in comes evil, in comes suffering, in comes difficulty. And it shouldn't surprise me, and I'm old enough now, you got to work really hard to surprise me now. But every once in a while, I get surprised, well, you know, why this, God? Why this? And so I made up a little phrase, my friend, make friends with fiery trials. My friends, you have to make friends with the fact that we all face suffering and fiery trials. That's what it means to live in this world. That's what it means to be a creature created in the image of God that is now set outside the garden. Oh yeah, one day we'll get back to the garden. But we've been set outside of perfect. And now we have to make our way faithfully through what is not perfect. And it's not only that the world's not perfect, they're not perfect. And, well, let's see, consequential sin means I'm not perfect. Here's what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Now here, the cross is the cost of being fully devoted and dedicated to Jesus. It'll cost you. I remember when one of my friends became a Christian, and he says, yeah, this is going to cost me a lot of money. And I said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you talking about tithing? He goes, no, that, I can do that. He says, it's all this other compassionate giving stuff. Oh, it's going to cost you money, and it's cost your time. You're going to need to utilize your talent, and you're going to need to be one-on-one, use your touch. We all have a cross to bear as a Christian. And as we bear it, it does make us a target, so to speak. It makes us someone that not everybody wants to invite. It might even be that because of your faith, someone wants to, you know, persecute you over that. Well, I'll show that goody-goody. So don't be surprised when it comes. No, I don't want you to be overly concerned with that. But when it does come your way, you're capable. You're holding on to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's helping you move forward, and you can hold up under any cross. But that's a cross you bear every day. And the more you live out your faith, it'll be more minutes and more seconds of that day. Number two, when it does occur, we ought to what? We ought to rejoice about it. Verse 13. Instead, be very glad. In some translations, it's the word rejoice. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Now, I mentioned this the other week. When I asked Jesus to be the leader of my life, that was not really in my mindset, right? Okay, I've been experiencing this bad from especially my my bad choices in life, bad behavior and attitude in life. And so I'm going to have Jesus lead my life because he's going to lead me down the easiest path. He's going to lead me down the blessed path. And I'm not saying life isn't easier, and I'm not saying that following Jesus isn't filled with blessings. But I didn't think about the fact that, I'm going to be a partner with Jesus in suffering. Yeah, I don't know if I want that. Now, here's the thing. You are going to suffer. You don't have a choice. The choice you have is, what are you going to do when you suffer? Are you going to be faithful in the midst of your suffering? Or are you going to be shocked and throw your hands in the air and think somehow God has picked you out and want something personally bad happen to you? And Jesus never causes evil. He never causes bad. He doesn't need to. He put us out into an imperfect world, and he's given us free will, and we choose poorly. Most of us suffer from our own bad choices and mistakes. Now notice what Peter is saying and not saying. Peter is not saying that you're to enjoy your suffering. We are to rejoice in our sufferings. That's not enjoyment. Enjoyment is drawing pleasure from that suffering. And if you have too much enjoyment when you suffer, you need to make an appointment with me. We need to talk. No, what we need to do is rejoice, which is choosing a better attitude. Choosing a better attitude. We don't have to be thankful for our suffering. We need to be thankful in our suffering, the scriptures say. We're to rejoice in the midst of them, not for them. Not for them. Now, a great insight that Peter has is that in our suffering, as we seek to bear the cross of Jesus, be in partnership with him in the good and the difficult in this world, two really good things happen. Number one, that really does make us partners with him. And number two, it means that other people can see Jesus in you. Peter says, so be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian. Now, here's what's interesting, other than when it's spoken by one of the disciples or Jesus, the word Christian is actually a racial slur. When the Jews or the Romans wanted to put down somebody who was a believer in Jesus, he called them a Christian. Wait, I think I heard somebody on the news say it just about like that the other day. Christians. You Christians. Peter says, hang in there, doesn't he? He says, be happy, again, not for, but in. When you're insulted for being a Christian, when you're set aside because you're a Christian, because you're not invited to the party. And it is an insult. Well, everybody else got invited. Why didn't I get invited? Am I that bad of a person? No, it's not about anything else but the fact that you stand for a few things. Key things, core things, awesome things. And not everybody wants to feel bad when they're off doing sinful things. So they just don't invite you. Oh, You know, she is no fun to ask to coffee. She won't gossip about anyone. Oh, so I'm not a gossip, so you don't want to have coffee with me. What people are seeing is they're seeing Christ in us. And because they see Christ in us, they call us Christians. Darn Christians. They're everywhere. Can't get away from them. Yeah, that's right. We're everywhere. You can't get away from us. That's part of God's plan. And so part of God's plan is that we'll suffer in the midst of that as well. Paul to Timothy. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, you know more persecution's coming up, don't you? I was at a meeting on the East Coast a week ago, and one of the things that came up again is very quickly, maybe even within the next 2 years, they will take away the tax deduction for all religious nonprofit institutions. All of them, right? You either got to raise taxes or you got to find a new tax base. And guess what? We're the largest part of that new tax base. We're going after all those rich Christians. We'll stop giving them a tax deduction for giving away their money. And we'll have a lot more money. Is that persecution? Sure it is. Sure it is. So don't be surprised when it comes. Don't let it alter your attitude for very long. Yeah, I'm like you. Oh, okay, I absorb the hit and then I slide myself back over into the right place. The third thing that Peter brings up is don't ever be ashamed. Let me tell you, do not listen and do not be intimidated by the critics and the cynics around you. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Now, I subscribe to this method of both criticism and compliment. I chew on it for a little while and then I spit it out. And sometimes suffering strikes us at the core of who we are. Their cynicism or their criticism of us as a Christian, well, some days that stings, that hurts. Yeah, that's not a lot of fun. And so Peter says, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Wow. You know, when's the last time you were suffering? You know, thank the Lord. We don't usually start there, but if we're striving to be a fully dedicated and devoted person to Christ, we finally get there in our suffering. We finally say in our yielding and submission to God, okay, I hate this, but I know you're up to something. I really don't like this, but I'll make my way. And we all know that the challenge of our faith is when difficult things come our way, not when when it's all an uninterrupted string of victories. Man, when life is green lights and full of blessing, we absolutely love the Lord. And we learn to absolutely love the Lord in the midst of our suffering. Because it's coming, don't be surprised by it. And when it comes, don't get a bad attitude. Keep a good attitude. Get back to that good attitude. And that's why when we're suffering, we need to hang around with other Christians. Why? Because right now our faith isn't very strong. Just saddle up to somebody that's got a strong faith and borrow a little of their faith. Texted one of my friends last night, lost his mom. We're a month past that, 6 weeks past that, and he said, I need to talk to you. Because it's hard for me right now. And there's a lot on his shoulders, a lot that God is doing in and through him. And so he responds back to me, he wants to borrow a little of my faith. What his text didn't say, dude, I hope you're doing really well because I need to talk to somebody that feels good and strong right now. I feel weak and a little off my game. And it's okay. It's okay to feel a little off your game, feel a little awful, feel a little depressed, some anxiety, some worry. But I believe that as we are together one to another, as we talked about last week, yeah, that really helps us. It supports us. It really guides us. Now, when we have alignment in our faith with Jesus and we're living out our faith, you know, a lot of great things happen. That is a testimony. That is the reality of who you are in that moment of suffering. And as we get our balance again and we start finding true spiritual north again and we start making our way, that shows conviction. That shows alignment. That shows dedication. And those things, I believe, are profoundly revealed in our most difficult and weak times. Why? Because it's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. And suffering does humble us, and when we're humble, that magnifies who God is and what God is doing in us and through us and in this world. One last thing, and I don't want you to leave here without remembering this. Verse 13, the second half, that's what a B is. The A is the first part, B is the second part. So that you will have a wonderful joy seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. What's Peter talking about? Well, I think he's talking about two things. Now, ultimately, he's talking about when Jesus returns. And yes, all the disciples thought Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. You'll be there and you'll see it and you'll understand God in all of his glory. And we will. When Christ returns, we'll understand his glory. But the way Peter pens this is, no, your name's on the list. You're an invited guest. You're going to have, because of your suffering in Jesus Christ, you're going to have a VIP pass to the most spectacular and glorious event in all of history. See, he chooses us so that we can choose him. And in choosing him, we do become a part of his glory. His glory ultimately, but you know those little slices of heaven? When I hang out with my friend Pastor Mason, they call it glory. And they'll say that while you're preaching. Glory! 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 See, glory isn't something you have to wait for. God reveals it to us in part. And then he will reveal it to us in a whole. And many times the most glorious pictures of Jesus, perceptions of humanity and our world come in our deepest, most challenging times of suffering. Don't ever forget, God is with you profoundly, very personally. He is strong and His glory is magnified in our suffering. So I'm not saying go run out and find all the suffering you could find today. But man, you don't have to. It's coming your way. It's coming your way. And so don't be surprised about it. Don't let it alter your attitude for very long. And finally, don't let it change your stance in relationship to the cross. Don't let it change the manner in which you express your full devotion, because in that moment, God is not against you. In those moments, because He understands it so well, Jesus is with you. Your partners, your friends. And whatever happens to us, well, it happened to Jesus, and He understands. And remember, He's got some glorious moments for you up ahead, but He also has glory for you for all eternity. Let us pray. Father, You know where we suffer. Sometimes it's situationally, sometimes it's relationally. Lord, sometimes it's outside of us. And Father, You know how much of it resides within us. And when we say, Lord, in prayer to You, this is not fair, You do understand that. It's not right. It's not the good of heaven. Yet to be on this earth and to be in partnership with You means that sometimes we'll pay a price for being a Christian. We'll pay a price for taking a stand. Lord, continue to equip us for the life that we live through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, bring us others that when our faith is wavering or is a little low, that they can fill us up, they can straighten us up. Lord, thank You for the ability to know Your glory now. And Lord, every time we do, we want to grab a hold of it and we want to bottle it so we can hang on to it, especially in our times of suffering. Lord, do what You can do, because that's what no one else can do, in coming alongside of us and helping us move through the suffering on to the good things that You have in store for us. Lord, thank You for that, and we pray all these things in Your name. Amen.